know that the service hasn't been perfect so far.
Oh, Phil, you disappoint me.
So, hopefully you can all hear me. And I'm going to try and see whether we can explore those readings and where they lead us. So, Lord, as we explore where these two passages from the Bible lead us, may the Holy Spirit fill our hearts and minds with fresh revelation and motivation to follow you and to do your will. Amen.
Amen.
So, as with all New Testament documents, there's good historical provenance for both of these passages, written a short time after the life of Christ. So the first reading is from a letter from Paul to Timothy, written as Paul was imprisoned and in chains in a dungeon under Emperor Nero around about 67 AD. He knew that he was nearing the end of his life, and he was writing to his good and loyal friend Timothy. The passage from Luke was written at a similar time, about 30 to 40 years after the crucifixion, and it was drawing its source from the oral tradition that began immediately after the crucifixion. So both of these, as with so much of the New Testament, have a very good historical provenance. Anyway, to look at what they tell us. On first reading, and looking at the two, comparing the two, we might see a contradiction. So Jesus' parable appears to be condemning somebody who thinks he's righteous. The Pharisee boasts, "I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all my income." And yet Paul, in his letter, appears to be doing exactly the same thing. He says that from now on there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness. So why is it that Paul is okay, but the Pharisee is not? Why does the Pharisee stand condemned and Paul is lauded? The answer actually gives us a better understanding of the gospel and the difference between the gospel and religion or the law. So in essence, the Pharisee is saying, "I've kept the law. I've earned my place in God's good books, not like those people." Whereas Paul is saying, "I've poured out my life out of love for my neighbor and for Christ." The Pharisee lived under the law without love, but Paul lived free from the law with love. The Pharisee was complacent and comfortable. Paul was humble and at this time in his life extremely uncomfortable. The Pharisee preached a strict legalistic God. Paul preached a God of grace. The Pharisee was self-righteous and proud, trying to justify himself. But Paul was making a sober assessment of his life with humility. So if we hold up these two alternative views, and look in the mirror, which attitude most represents our lives? Are we focused on ourselves, looking down on others? Do we want to be successful and rise to the top? Do we think that our top priority is to keep the law? Do we look down on those who are not like us? Are we cold, hard, and judgmental? A few years ago, there was a member of the government who, looking down on other people, said, "If you haven't got a job, get on your bike and go and find one." Or are we focused on others? Are we focused on what we can do for others and aware of our shortcomings? So we might say, "How can I help those who are less well off than me?" And we never meet our expectations of ourselves. And we might say, "I know I could do more to help. I know I could love more. I know I could serve more. Oh, Lord, be merciful. Help me to change, for I know that I'm a sinner." Clearly, as a church, we're trying to learn what God has to tell us through the Bible, and we would rather adopt the second approach, and we would rather be like Paul than the Pharisee. But let's take a moment to think about whether we're actually making a sensible choice. A central question in whether that is a sensible choice is what happens when we die. Well, actually, after we die. Paul was clearly thinking about what happens after he dies when he wrote his letter. And he said elsewhere, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If this life is all there is, if when we die we're dead, if there's no eternal life, then what is wrong with trying to be selfish, training ourselves to be selfish? Why shouldn't we strive for maximum pleasure and comfort? Why not ignore the suffering of others? They'll soon be dead anyway. Why worry about the world warming up? We'll soon be dead anyway. And if we feel pangs of guilt, we can train ourselves to ignore them. Or maybe we give a few pounds to the teddy at Children in Need. But otherwise, it's quite rational to be selfish. Indeed, our Prime Minister said in a speech a few years ago that inequality is essential to fostering the spirit of envy. And he hailed greed as a valuable spur to economic activity. We can pursue fame and fortune, and we will reach the end of our meaningless lives. In a couple of hundred years at most, we'll be forgotten. But I think most of us here, I hope most of us here, feel that a life of pure selfishness and personal ambition at the expense of others is wrong. And what if what is written in John's Gospel is right, that the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son and they will rise again? Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. So we agree with the Bible and believe in fairness, in justice, in goodness, and in love. We want to look out for the needs of others. Otherwise, why would we be running the winter shelter? Why would we have the food bank collection? And people throughout the nation, we were looking for signs of hope. People throughout the nation are concerned about the future. We have people supergluing themselves to roads, to trains, even to the Houses of Parliament, because they believe in things that matter. They believe in the future and future generations. It's uplifting to see that amount of love in the world. We tend to focus on the negative. We focus on Brexit. But look at the response to that. Look at the way people are responding in love and saying, we need to love one another. And yet, cold, hard reason says that if this life is all there is, that's irrational. And love is just an emotion of no value. But our alternative worldview is far more hopeful. In our worldview, love, fairness, goodness, justice have eternal meaning. Our lives have eternal meaning. Our relationships with others have eternal meaning. We matter to each other and to God. And when we look at the wonders of the universe, we know that they are there for a purpose. A purpose given by God, and a universe being sustained through the laws of physics by that God. So we're here for a purpose, and we're important to God. Each of us within us has this seed of love. And as God is love, whether we know it or not, that seed of love is actually God within us. Even people who don't believe in God, if they have a seed of love within them, that's God within them. We can nurture that seed and let it grow, or we can stifle it. Instead of training ourselves to be selfish, we can train ourselves to love. Instead of amassing wealth, we can use what we have to do good. It makes such a difference in this life to know that there is more to come. If you think about running a race, if you ran the 100-meter race and you knew that you had to stop exactly at the finish line, you would run the race very differently to if you knew that you had to pass through it. If you tried to hit a ball, and you try and stop at the point of impact, then the whole stroke before impact would be different to if you know that you can follow through and that there's more to your stroke beyond that point of impact. So instead of us coasting down to the end of the life and saying that's it, we know that there is something beyond it. So we can live our life now in that knowledge, and it makes a difference to our life now in that knowledge that after that point of impact, there is a follow through. We can keep powering through into the next life. We don't have to coast down and stop. So all of us can take that seed of love within us, and as we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can grow it. We can test our thoughts and our actions with the Holy Spirit. Am I making this choice because I love or because I'm selfish? And if we can start to recognize that voice of the Holy Spirit within us, we can now allow him to soothe us when things get difficult. I'm sure most of you know that Kathy and I went on a short stroll a couple of weeks ago. We did the Camino from Santander to Santiago de Compostela. So that's 550 kilometers horizontally and about 12 vertically. We reached, or certainly I reached, the limit of my physical endurance. And at the end, after all that effort, walking through into the front square in front of the cathedral at Santiago de Compostela, you might imagine how we felt. The finish was a great disappointment. There was no great crowd cheering us. There was no one playing the bagpipes or anything like that. It was just a gloomy, drizzly day. And the great cathedral itself is under repair. So we went inside, and all the beautiful decoration was under scaffolding and plastic. There was no swinging incense burner. I don't know if you've seen the videos of a great big incense burner that they swing for the pilgrim mass. There was no pilgrim mass. They have it swinging, I think, because we were all pretty smelly. But there was none of that. So I sat down, and I had a bit of a grump. But then in my head, I had this conversation with the Holy Spirit. I heard this, you know, this conversation went, you don't need man-made pomp and praise. You don't need people shouting and cheering. Look at the wonders that I showed you on your way here. The majestic mountains, the views, the people we met. Remember the blessings. I kept a journal and I had 2 pages of things which, you know, that were just astonishing, the timing and the blessings. Remember the blessings. These disappointments are trivial. Don't worry about them. You know that I love you. Within each of us is the Holy Spirit, and we need to connect with it. So I'm going to finish with a question. Perhaps now or perhaps later, when we get home, let's take a moment to reflect. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit within us? Are we nurturing it? Are we bearing its fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we bearing these fruit? And if there are areas where we're not being as fruitful as we'd like, perhaps it's time to reconnect and listen again to the Holy Spirit within us. Thank you.